Our Lord, our God of heaven, our Creator, our Master, our Savior, our everything, Lord, we bless thy holy name, O Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for bringing all of us together. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day in our lives. Our life is nothing but a vapor, but Lord, our vapor continues to live because, O Lord, you want us to glorify thy mighty name in our life. Thank you, Lord, that we are breathing today. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to walk. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to see. Thank you, Lord, we are able to listen. And thank you, Lord, you gave us the utterance to sing songs for you, to praise you, to worship you. Lord, we are not worthy, but Lord, we found grace in thy sight. Thank you, Lord, that you gifted the salvation in our life. Thank you, Lord, that we are not running behind the vanities of this world, but Lord, we are here to set our eyes upon things above, and you, Lord. You are our everything, Lord. We don't want anything else but you, Lord. You are our strength, you are our hope, you are our anchor, you are the true life that we receive in our life. And Lord, we thank you for thy great name in our life, O Lord. Lord, people who called upon you in thy name, you always answer their prayers. You always listen to their voice. Because, O Lord, not everyone can call upon thy name, O Lord. Only those who can stand in spirit upright as a sincere, righteous brother and sister in Christ, O Lord, in the holy place, moved by thy Holy Ghost, when we call your name, when we cry unto you, you will listen to us. Because, O Lord, we cannot witness with your spirit if we are not in spirit, O Lord. So, Lord, we surrender all the brethren who are standing in the congregation here and all those overseas brethren who are joining us from different parts of the world. Lord, we pray, bring our hearts together into unity, the unity of faith, the unity of one spirit, one accord, one mind, to glorify your name, to meditate on your words of life, to receive the revelation from you, to receive the understanding from you, to know you more. This is your word, O Lord. We are part of thy word. We belong to you, Lord. Without thy guidance, without thy spirit speaking to us, we cannot break the word. So, Lord, we ask in the mighty name, the name above all names, the name before every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, our Lord and Savior, the Holy One of Israel, the Mighty One of Israel, the only sacrifice, the only covenant, the only atonement, the only offering, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask in Jesus' name, take complete control of our gathering. Take complete control of our heart. Take complete control of our mind. And take complete control of my lips, my heart, my blessed thoughts, and all the brethren who are here. Lord, we pray, speak to us, O Lord. We want to listen to you. Speak to us. We do not want to keep on making noise by asking you all the time. But Lord, help us to be quiet, to rest in thy place, to listen to your voice. You are always willing to shower the blessed thoughts upon us. It is the rain, the teaching rain, the healing rain. There is no sickness in this world that cannot be healed by the word of the Lord. There is no stress or depression that can take over a child of God other than the presence of the Holy Ghost, which can burn every single blood, flesh, every single weakness that are not good for our spiritual life. So Lord, we ask you in thy name, take complete control of our gathering. This is the house of the Lord, and we are here as your children. We are here as your vessel. Lord, fill our hearts with compassion, sincerity, and humility. And Lord, help us, O Lord, to desire to eat the words of life, to desire to seek the everlasting light, the desire to serve you, the desire to witness you, the desire to bring souls to the church, the desire to preach the gospel of peace in our life. Lord, we thank you. I surrender the sermon and all our hearts and mind in Jesus Christ's name, that you help us to abide in your word. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. Greetings to you all. In our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, blessed be the name of the Lord. Welcome to our church, new brethren. God bless you all. We thank the Lord for the testimonies, and I'm truly blessed by the worship. We thank the Lord for the presence. Amen. When we desire to do anything for the Lord will be pleased, not because of the work, but because of our desire. For the past few weeks, I have been bound to this word, desire. May the Lord speak to all our hearts. The word desire is something very important in our life. And I am someone, I would say I was guilty many years ago. For me, I love the word sincerity and obedience. I love those words. I always try my best to fit into those two words. To be sincere, to be obedient, to be willing, of course, three. Because when you study the words of life, sometimes our carnal mind, because of the partiality in our heart, the human mind will always look for a reason to justify your action. Will always look for a verse to give you peace. Not the peace from the Lord. A peace to make you, to keep you self-righteous. And that peace is not a peace. It's actually poison. And the word of the Lord can be, I would say, you can do a surgery. Take one particular verse, keep it in your room. I say, Lord, I praise you, worship you. This verse is my strength. It is my anchor. Remember this. When you open the Bible, and you take one single letter from the Bible, it will pull every single letter from the Bible together. Because that is why we call it as the Word. There are 66 books, thousands of verses, but still we call it as the Word of the Lord. Singular, unity, oneness. It is the Word of the Lord, one single word. The entire Bible is nothing but one single word. It could have been the letter of the Lord, right? If you know the first letter in Hebrew, Aleph, it represents the oneness of God. Amen. But still, the Lord does not call it as the letter of God. It is called as the Word of God. Because a letter cannot have its meaning. A letter is nothing if there is no word. The word bringeth the meaning. The word consists of letters. And now you know, we are all part of the word. Amen. We are part of the word, but we don't define. We are not the definition of the word. We are part of the definition. We are part of the expansion. So when you meditate, you will understand that you are like letters. You and me, we are letters in the word. But the Lord is the word. And we conform to the image because we follow the word of the Lord. And when we say, Lord, I want to conform to your image, the most important revelation the Lord wants us to understand is, I'm sure in your life you have someone who is your inspiration. For children, your father, or your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, or your children, whatever it is, whoever it is, you know, whatever the inspiration they gave it to you. Whenever you look at them, you love them, you are inspired by that life, or they did something to you, you want to be like them. When I say inspiration, someone whom you want to be in this world. And now, what you do, you know him for all these years, personally, with an intimate relationship. And whenever someone calls the name, it will bring joy to your heart because you know the person in your heart. And you want to be like him. I'm talking about before we all accepted Christ. Because after salvation, there is only one person you want to be like, Jesus. No other person in the world should be your reference. You can only be inspired from those brothers and sisters, that too, to glorify the name of the Lord. No one should be your inspiration other than Jesus Christ. Amen. Before you accepted Christ, as a normal people in the world, it could be a school teacher, your professor, or your good friend, you will feel, I wish I am like him, I am like her, because he is able to handle his life in a very righteous way, or in a very a way of love and peace. Whenever we try to be like them, what we do? We try to imitate what they do, we try to imitate how they handle the problems, we try to imitate them. And the more we try to be like them, conforming to the image of his son, conforming to the image of the word of the Lord, is nothing but to be like him. Not in the outward appearance or the garments, but the way he lived, the way he asked us to live. Amen. So this conforming, this process is nothing but perfection, being perfected. Because we are not perfect. Amen. So when I was meditating on that, I was blessed when the Lord speak to all of us in His Word. Word. Amen. Always remember Word. When you take a verse that gives you peace, please be assured, check yourself, examine your heart. Is it because that you found an answer to your problem? Or is it because you were confused whether you were guilty or you were wrong, but this verse gave you some assurance that you are not wrong? Be very careful. Because most of the people in this world, they use Bible as a place to justify their actions. They use Bible as a place to go and take a verse and say, oh, thank God, I thought I was wrong. Now I am at peace, I am right. Whatever makes you to think that you are right, it is not the inspiration the Lord wants you to give. The Lord would never make anyone to think right, because right is part of righteousness. Nobody has righteousness. No one is right. We are here to conform to Him. We are here to follow Him. We are here to be like Him. We are here to follow the word of the Lord. That's it. If at all, if there is any verse that made you think you are right, pray to the Lord and the Lord will reveal things to you and you can circumcise yourself from it. Because word of the Lord is always unity. One word of the Lord. When we take one verse, as I said, it brings every single letter from Genesis all the way to Revelation. That word, that verse is subject to the fulfillment of every single verse that the Lord spoke from Genesis to Revelation. That is the present established truth. We have to take it as a spider web. We take it, it brings every single lesson that you learn from there. Then the peace that you receive should always be based on how much we humbled ourselves by the Lord's grace, how much the Lord humiliated us, and how much the Lord taught us in our heart that we are nothing without Him. That is the true peace. Amen. That is the true peace. That my life is nothing without Him. I am not the master of my life. And the more you learn, the more we study, we will learn how weak we are. That is the right direction for us to move forward. This is something very important, because when we try to find strength from the Lord, it is different than find justification from the word of the Lord. Those are two different things. It may sound like strength, but it is not the strength that the Lord is looking forward to receive to us. Amen. May the Lord guide us. And today we will continue to begin the journey in the territory of the book of Acts. By the grace of God, last week we finished where exactly we wanted to stop, in the book of Exodus. And we will read some verses which I wanted to complete last Sunday. I could not, and I will complete today by the grace of God. Once we finish that, we will move to the book of Acts. Last Sunday, we started the verses on Moses, the 80-year-old child, nurtured by the father, and God was speaking to Moses, trying to make him understand step by step. It was a pure example of step by step approach. The Lord could have asked the toughest question first, but rather He was giving him piece by piece, step by step. Then Moses was keep on rejecting, opposing, arguing and bargaining with the Lord. You may think, no. Father and child, they are enjoying the fellowship together. No. If it is a moment of blessed discussion, you would not be reading the verse, the Lord anger arose against Moses. Amen. The Lord was angry. The Lord is righteous. He is judge. He won't lie. He was angry with Moses when Moses was relentless in showcasing his unfaithfulness. When Moses was so stubborn in his own understanding, then the Lord was so angry. He said, who created you? Who made your mouth? He was so angry. And we will read the words of life in Exodus chapter 4. There are some verses that we need to learn from the Lord before we move to the book of Acts. After the Lord talked to Moses, remember, he went to meet his family, to talk to his father-in-law before he embarked the journey, right? So now, let's read the verse where Moses and his wife had this discussion, verse 22. Verse 22, chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Verse 24, and it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Now, these three verses, it talks about firstborn, a sonhood and a fatherhood. Amen. Whenever we see the word first son, firstborn, we have to remember the covenant the Lord made with Abraham, not just with Ishmael, but the promised son, Isaac. So let's go to Genesis chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 5 to verse 14.
No longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations.
Amen.
For an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you.
Amen.
Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generation. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendants, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant.
Now, let's remember this. I continue the verse in Exodus 4 now. Exodus 4, chapter 4, verse 25. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou unto me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. In these three verses, the wife of Moses had to do something to circumcise the son because the Lord sought to kill him. This is a remembrance of what the Lord told to Abraham, because he wanted Abraham to keep circumcision as the differentiator between his children and everyone else at that point of time. Amen. It is not the present established truth. It was a law given to Abraham by the Lord during the covenant. Now Zipporah, the wife of Moses, she did this to preserve the life of her son. And she says, you are a husband to me in blood. Now brother, please continue. Verse 23 to verse 27. Chapter 17.
So Abraham took Ishmael his son, all who was born in his house, and all who were bought with money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner was circumcised with him.
Amen. Thank you, brother. You see the last verse, and all the men of his house born in the house and bought with money of the stranger were circumcised with him. Remember when Moses called himself as a stranger in a strange land, when he became a father. He didn't say that when he got married. He said that when he became the father of his son Gershon. And now Zipporah, his wife, says, I circumcised our son. Now you are my husband in blood. Because Moses was always telling himself as a stranger in a strange land. I'm a stranger to this foreign land. I do not belong here. I came from Egypt. I don't know what I'm doing. But when the Lord met Moses in the mountain of God, the life of Moses is changing. It's not changed yet. Amen. Our lives are not changed until we start climbing the mountain. Changing, perfection, being perfected, it is a process. And until we conform to His image, we are not ready to receive the celestial body. We are not ready to receive or meet the Lord in the club. So in that process, we just take it as the spiritual mountain that we are climbing with the Lord. Moses has not stepped on the mountain. Aaron was on the way. Because after this, you know, Aaron and Moses, they met. And Moses told everything that the Lord asked him to tell Aaron. Amen. Moses said, I don't want to be the spokesperson. Amen. But do you see, God made him as a spokesperson to Aaron. You know, we read in the Bible, if anyone wants to lead, be a servant. If you want to be a leader, be a good follower. Amen. Moses said, I cannot speak. I'm not eloquent. I don't want to be a spokesperson. Lord said, fine, I will bring a spokesperson. But you will be the spokesperson to him. Still, Moses could not escape from what was given to him. Moses, the first task he did for God was being a spokesperson to Aaron. He told what the Lord told him to do. Lord did not tell Aaron. He just told Aaron, go and meet your brother in the wilderness. He went. Because of his love, he hugged him, he kissed him. And there is a love. When there is a love, it's a perfect place for the covenant to be established. Amen. Without love, there is no covenant. Without love, the Lord would not call anyone to be His servant. God cannot force anyone. Then it becomes slavery of this world. Amen. That is why I started the sermon by saying that if there is no desire, your sincerity, your willingness, your obedience is nothing but the same as what the world is following. Sincerity, obedience and willingness. Willing to be someone they are not. Willing to be able to receive some blessing which they don't deserve. Willing to perform everything so that they will escape the wrath, escape the punishment. Being sincere, being obedient just to follow the laws. People are extremely sincere, much better than us. There are people who are obedient than all of us. But the Lord says, if you take out the desire and love from the sincerity, obedience and humbleness and willingness, then that becomes something, a law. You do because you are told to do. You do because you do not want to be punished. You do because you don't want to die. Desire is very important, and that is driven by the love that we have for God. That is why we desire, right? Let's say, Lord, I want to serve you. Why? Because, Lord, I learned your word. I understood everything. Fine, but why? If you can say 1,000 answers, but until we tell Him truly in spirit, Lord, because I love you, question would not end. Desire is an outcome of the expression of your love. You love Him so much to the extent that you are willing to do anything for the Lord. And the covenant between two friends is always built upon love. And the Lord can do great things when two people gather together in love. So two brothers gathered because they love each other. When there was a hug, there was a kiss, and Moses told everything that he told, that he was supposed to tell to Aaron. The first task was completed. Remember, the day when Moses obeyed the word of the Lord and did what he said accordingly, that was the day Moses started climbing the mountain. Because he did not say anything when the Lord finished talking about Aaron. Did you see that? When the Lord said, he will be your spokesperson, he will be your mouth, I will put my words into your mouth and you will put the words into his mouth. When the Lord spoke all of this, even before that verse, there was a back and forth communication between Moses and God, right? But when the Lord said this, you can see there is no response from Moses. You see where the verse ended. In Exodus chapter 4, when the Lord told Moses, this is what I will do with Aaron. In verse 13, Moses says, Exodus chapter 4, verse 13, Moses says, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. When he said that, the Lord was angry. Verse 14 says, the anger of the Lord aroused against Moses, kindled against Moses. After that, we studied this verse, the Lord told what needs to be done. But you see, there was no chance given to Moses to respond. Lord did not ask Moses, do you agree now? Do you accept now? He didn't ask anything. Verse 17, the Lord says, and thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Done. This is where the Lord ended the conversation, right? Verse 18 says, Moses went. Now, what the Lord told to Ananias and prophet Samuel, go thy way. He said that, right? Go thy way. Now, that verse, go thy way, you can see in the book of Exodus chapter 4, after more than 16 verses of, you know, the Lord and Moses was discussing. Because Moses was silenced by the Lord when the anger aroused against him. The Lord said, fine, I will bring Aaron, he will do everything, and this is what you do. After that, verse 18 says, Moses went, he returned. He did not say anything, he did not acknowledge, he did not bargain, he did not say anything against the word of the Lord, he just left. And this is where Zipporah circumcised the son. And after that, verse 27, the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses, and he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. Verse 28, as we just read, Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Now, Moses started climbing the mountain when he performed the first task, service, as the Lord commanded him. Amen. But Aaron, remember, he was on the way, he met Moses, but he has not yet started climbing the mountain. Let's see when he starts his journey with Moses, with the Lord. Verse 30, And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses. So, the first person who followed the Lord's commandment is Moses. Then, after that, you see Moses bring Aaron together with him. So, these two brothers, they have started the journey already. Two better than one. Amen. In the book of Acts, remember when they gathered on the day of Pentecost, the day was fully prepared. Peter was leading all the prayer gatherings. He was leading all the brethren to be together. Saul was not there. Peter was the first one to climb the mountain, not Saul. Actually, Saul was running like a worldly person who was persecuting the Christians. He was far away from the mountain of God. Amen. So, in the Old Testament, Moses was the first, followed by Aaron, because verse 30 says, Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken. It does not stop there. It says, which the Lord had spoken unto Moses. He only spoke the words which the Lord spoke to Moses, and which the words put into his mouth by Moses, as the Lord commanded. And did the signs in the sight of the people. So together, they fulfilled what the Lord asked him to do. Together. Amen. Together. That is very important. Togetherness. They started the journey as a number of two. Just two people. Verse 31 may sound like the people of Israel believe the Lord. But we discussed last Sunday. It is not faith. It is nothing but excitement or emotions. To see some miracles. Feeling good about it. And to see someone is coming to save them from the slavery, because they had no choice. They had absolutely no way out. Amen. Even when the Lord split the Red Sea into two, if there are three or four other options for them to escape, people would have been scattered. But there was only one way out. That is why they followed Moses. Those who followed Moses, most of them died in the wilderness. They didn't even enter the promised land. So what does it mean? Following is nothing. If the Lord is not happy with our life. Amen? Following someone is meaningless if the word of the Lord is not living in our heart, and if there is no desire to serve Him, to do all His statutes and commandments in the word of the Lord with all our heart. If we do not do it, we may be sincere to follow Moses, we might be obedient to follow Moses, but we may go on the other side of the wilderness, but the people did not reach the promised land. People were killed because of the wrath of the Lord throughout the journey. Most of them died. It was second generation where Joshua circumcised them again to enter in the promised land. So now, Moses, Aaron are here. I just type it so that we focus. And here we have Peter. Cannot be seen as alone. I will just put and. Peter and all the apostles are with him. Because Matthias replaced Judas and he became the 12th apostle. And now Peter, he has the full group. They are full. The 12 people. Now, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 17 ends with a strong notation, touch not the unclean, then I will receive you. What do you mean by receiving? I accept you, I take you in, I open the door, I will let you dine in with me, you can come inside. When the Lord met Moses for the first time, he said, the place where you stand is the holy place. He asked him to take off his sandals. And although the Lord was so kind, so generous, so gracious to Moses, but Moses could not recover within the grace period. When the Lord's anger comes, which means the grace period is over. After that, no more discussion. Discussion ended. No need for an answer from the other side. When the Lord is angry, it's not a communication anymore. It becomes an instruction. One way out. You see, until the Lord was angry, Lord was listening to Moses. Amen? Lord was asking his opinion. He was listening to him, teaching him, doing whatever he asked. But when the anger of the Lord kindled against Moses, there was no Moses. There was no Moses in the discussion because it was not a discussion. The mouth of the Lord speaking what you shall do. That's it. Now you need to remember what happened. When Jesus said, come and follow me, was not a request. Amen? It was a command. It was an instruction. The sheep heard the voice of the master, of the shepherd, and the sheep followed. So that is same here. The Lord is telling Moses, that's it. Aaron's spokesman, you do this, 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 you do that, that's it. Go thy way. Go thy way is the continuation of what Moses did. Moses went. Moses knows that he can't speak anymore. Everything is settled. You could see the same pattern in the discussion with Samuel, Ananias, all the prophets of God, how the Lord speaks to them. When they make some unreasonable command, he won't give them any chance to make amends. He will say, go thy way. Just go and do what I say. But for Moses, it was very different. Because the Lord wanted to raise Moses from being an 80-year-old child to be a spiritual grown-up man to lead the people of Israel. So after that, Moses' life has changed. And he will be going through his own perfection process as he is also leading the people of Israel. Because the Lord perfects everyone. It's not that the leader is ready and the others are not ready. No, it's not like that. The Lord is perfecting all of us together, right? So when Moses started climbing the mountain, Aaron joined hands with him. By what? By speak. Utterance. This is extremely important, my brethren, because we are in the present established truth. utterance is speak the word. Utterance is not possible if our heart is not filled with the word of the Lord. We cannot speak for the sake of speaking the word of the Lord. We cannot do that. We can say, for example, let's say we read 3 verses to a group of people. The same 3 verses, let's say 1,000 people read, but there is no presence of the Lord. No healing takes place. No repentance. Everybody stays the same. But one servant of God, the Lord anointed him with the Spirit, and he come and read the same verse with the same tone, even in a manner that others were able to read so beautifully, but he couldn't even read so beautifully. But out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaker, when the Spirit giveth the utterance, the word becomes life. If not, the word is nothing but noise. May sound similar as people call Jesus, Jesus. Do you know that Jesus is different than our Jesus? He is not the same. Because the Jesus the people believe, 3-in-1, 2-in-1, 4-in-1, or someone who is nothing but a teacher or prophet, they are talking about someone who does not exist. He is a virtual reality. He doesn't exist. There is only one Savior. So, when you look at it, even the enemy presents himself as Antichrist, right? Same name as Christ, but not Christ. The enemy roam around like a lion, but not the lion. He is nothing but a beast of carnals, of flesh. Like a lion, similar to a lion, the enemy is trying to go and devour people, but he's not a lion. Like a lion. So, the enemy will always take the role of being a subtle deception. See, it looks white color, it is milk. Go and drink, but it is poison. See, you follow Jesus Christ, yes, come, look at the idol. Jesus was like this, so beautiful, but you could see there are thousands of images of Jesus around the world. Different idols. Every country they make their own, and they say they saw Jesus in the vision. And there are thousands of idols of Mary. Everybody, they want to be the creator of the creator. So whom they serve, we don't know. Why? The Lord says, He will not dwell in a place where His name is profaned. Wherever His name is profaned, He cannot exist there because He is holy. And God is spirit. When people worship Him in flesh, He cannot exist there because He is spirit. When people worship the teacher, when people worship the pastor, when people follow the prophet, when people follow the man, the humans for healing or to worship them, it is flesh, it is carnal. God cannot dwell in the midst of them. That is what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Why I'm always showing the mountain here? Because, my brethren, just because we learned Bible, we cannot believe that we are on the mountain. We might be here. We might be here. Somewhere near the mountain, looking at the mountain. Oh yes, this is the truth. Yes, I know. I know Ham uncovered the nakedness of his father. I know all the truth, what happened to serpent Eve. I know all of this. I have everything in my mind. I am spiritual. No. Even there are people who don't know anything about Bible. They will go and die for Jesus. That is faith. People who only know that Jesus is my Savior, they accepted Him as the Lord. He is the way, the truth and life. Salvation, whatever is critical to salvation, the Lord will provide to the whole world. Because the Lord promised the people of Israel, they lack nothing in the wilderness. Amen? What do you mean by lack nothing? Is it to go and teach everyone to know every single part of the Bible or to know Jesus is the Lord? Which one is important? Knowledge of accepting Him with desire and love, in sincerity, obedience, that He is my Master, it is the only knowledge the Lord wants us to hold on to keep salvation. Everything else is given by the Lord to serve Him. The knowledge and wisdom the Lord anoints His people so that He will raise His servants to fight against the evil, to fight against the flesh, to fight against the carnal, to preserve the flock, to keep the children safe. Because the Lord said, in the end times, people will perish because of the lack of knowledge and wisdom. But what is the knowledge and wisdom? If there is no desire in our lives to love Him, to follow Him, and to live a life like Him. That is the knowledge and wisdom. Everything else is just a decoration. Amen. Foundation is our salvation. Everything else is very important. All the doctrines are very important. But we cannot look at the pillars and forget the foundation. We should always stand firm on the foundation. Everything else, He is the builder. We are not the builder. Amen. God builds His temple. He built apostolic doctrines. He built. We have to be very careful of this, because we are just approaching this from two directions. From the seventh church age and from the very first Exodus that we read in the Bible. Very first journey. So, Aaron spoke the word what Moses said. Apostles spoke the word what the Lord said. Moses went first. Aaron followed. Jesus ascended first. People followed. And Israel, people of Israel, they are still with the Egyptians. Is it visible? Okay, brother. The people of Israel, they are still in the slavery of whom? Egyptians. Here the name Egyptians represents someone called enemies, who are torturing people, who are holding people. Can we hate Egyptians? Just because they were doing all things against the people of Israel, in anywhere in the Bible, does God give you the authority to hate Egyptians? No. If there are no Egyptians, then there is slavery. If there is no slavery, then there is Moses. If there is no Moses, then there is Exodus. Everything works together for good. The Lord planned everything in His sight. He told, love your enemies. Because He will change everyone to be His servant, if we are the true servants of God. No one can say, he or she is a tare, he or she is the wheat. God did not give us the eye. Only He knows. But we are called to believe everyone is a wheat. To believe everyone will enter into salvation. To believe God's mansion is so big that He will house in people as much as He wants. So what we should do? Hold on to life. Hold on to life. And that understanding was not with Moses. That is why he's here. He was not perfected. He is an imperfect follower of Lord who takes the first step on the mountain by listening and obeying the word of the Lord for the first time. He's here. He's not here. And we know what happens later. But now what's more important is, people of Israel are here. They have not yet received the messages of the Lord to follow Him. They are still looking for a man, a human to come and deliver them. That is why they needed a sign to show that, show me that you are from God. Show me that the Lord sent you. How can I believe you? Show some miracle, do some magic, do some tricks, make me excited. Then I'll believe you. That is why verse 31, we should not take it as people of Israel believed. No, they believed the people came. They did not believe in God. They did not believe in God at that point of time. That is why they are still here. Exodus 4 ends here. And we will revisit the chapter as the Lord leads us when. But now, the time has come for us to move to the side of Peter and apostles. Now, few weeks before, when we studied the Acts chapter 2, we stopped where the world were amazed. The multitude heard about the rumor what happened in the upper room. The Holy Spirit descended upon them, and they were all blessed by the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues. And people said, they mocked them and said, they are full of new wine. Amen. The first miracle Jesus did in a wedding. It's not a coincidence, right? We are all waiting for the marriage of the Lamb. Amen. The very first miracle Jesus performed was in a wedding, in a marriage. And the very first miracle that He did was changing the water into wine. And when the disciples and the apostles received the Holy Ghost for the very first time, the most important word by which the world cursed them or mocked them or even called them as fools by saying that they are drunk or full of new wine. First miracle and first persecution both talks about wine. Now let's take time. This is only the two chapters of Book of Acts. And we are not here to know what happened in the story. No. Every event that you see here is a manifestation of the word of the Lord. It's a fulfillment of a promise that was given by the Lord. So we start from the top left. Jesus died for us. On the third day, He resurrected for us. Third day, not 3 days later, do not forget that. Third day. It was not 3 full days. First day He died, second day descended, third day He arose, resurrection. Third day. And the last verse that Jesus spoke before his ascension to his disciples, this is very important. You shall receive power for what? To be a witness to me in Judah, Samaria, Jerusalem, and all the places. That is the last verse that Jesus spoke to his disciples. You shall receive power. Amen. Whenever you read this verse, I want all of you to remind yourself. The Lord said you will receive power, right? The disciples will say, yes, I have received power. I feel more powerful. Fine. Stephen was stoned to death. All the apostles, they were killed in a tragic fashion. Then what power we are talking about, my brethren? What power we are talking about? Then what power that Jesus is talking about? Whenever we say, greater is he who is in me than he is in the world, what power you are talking about? What power you desire to have in your life? You know what is the power that is missing in their life? When Peter refused Jesus three times, it was the same Peter who walked with Jesus, who followed Jesus, but he could not hold on to his faith. When the people asked him, are you with Jesus? He said, no, I don't know him. Three times he refused. He was weak spiritually. He was weak in his faith. He was weak to the extent that he was putting his own life, to be in an agreement with hell, to go to die completely, permanently. But when Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost come upon you, that power is not the power that we all may think in this world. It is the power to hold on to him, no matter what happens in your life. It is the power, the anchor that holds your ship, no matter your ship is broken into pieces, but the anchor is still there. Even you may sink and die, but the anchor is still there. That is the power that the Lord said, I will give you the power. Because without the Comforter, without the Holy Ghost, you can't witness me. He said as simple as that. He just told them very brutally that without my Holy Ghost, you cannot witness me. You cannot serve me. That's it. If we are not in spirit, the Lord will not do anything in our life. If we are not in spirit, we cannot go and testify him to anyone. You may testify about someone, but it is not the same Jesus you and me are talking about. And so beautifully, the Lord will bless the other person because you were there. But not because he tabernacled in you. It's because the other person who was seeking, crying, and searching for the Lord with all his heart and desire, he blessed the person because of his faith, not because of us. If we are not in the spirit, we are not the vessel. We may think that we are the vessel, but the Lord can tabernacle directly. He did not need Aaron to speak to Moses. He just needed a simple burning bush. When the Lord met Saul, he didn't use Peter. Remember, he just went and met him directly. No mediator in middle. He just went to meet Saul directly and make him Paul. So here, when Jesus said, you shall receive power, I ask you all in Jesus' name, what power we desire. The only power that no one can take away from our life is to hold on to him. No matter what happens, people are beating you, cursing you, insulting you, persecuting you, and your health is going down, you are on the deathbed, you lost all your savings, you lost all your reputation, you lost everything in your life. But if you can say, praise the Lord, then you have that power. That power, not the power of this world. That is the power Jesus said, I will give it to you. See, Matthias was doing something normal. Matthias, so when the Lord fell on him, he became an apostle. But what happened to him? My brethren, whenever the Lord chose people, you know, the biggest deception that is going on in many churches, brethren who are part of the church, in many churches, I have seen in my friend's life, they think the suffering, the fellowship of his sufferings, all the persecution, all the strong impact, consequences of being a servant of God is only applicable to those who serve the Lord from the pulpit. No. It is extremely important for every single body members of Christ. It is applicable to all. Whoever believes in Jesus, whatever he said is for you. Did he say the Comforter will only come upon apostles? Did he say that? He said, I will pour upon the Holy Ghost, upon everyone. All flesh, your children, the young ones, everybody will prophesy. They will have dreams, visions of visions. The Lord is talking about everyone. If we do not have this faith, then we won't cross the other side. And this faith It is not for certain people. It is for God's people. Then you can say maybe yes, certain people of this world who are God's people, who are separated, people who are called by His name. So the second promise, we have to have the discernment that which power the Lord said that He will give it to you. Is it the spiritual gifts? The Lord gave the Holy Ghost. I receive the power. Now I can cast out the demons. I heal all the sick. Is that the power that you are talking about? That is nothing if the Lord is not happy with you. That is absolutely nothing if the Lord says, I do not know you. Depart from me. People will say, oh Lord, I did miracles in your name. I healed people. I did all this and that. And the Lord said, I never knew you. Who are you? So the power that Jesus promised is to have the Holy Ghost in our life, to understand His word, to live a life that is pleasing to His eyes, to hold on to Him, so that He will look at us and He will say, I am pleased in your life, my servant. That is the power. That is the only power that cannot be touched or destroyed by any power in this world. That is why the Lord allowed His people to be murdered. Because for Him is nothing. What He will do? Go and behead my son John the Baptist. Go and do it. Whatever the world thinks that they have conquered, they have done something great, it is nothing in the sight of the Lord. Even the most painful moment of your life, can you close your eyes? Can you recreate the same pain now? Can you do it? Anyone? Let's say I had a surgery in my I had a very bad injury in my hand. I felt the pain 13 years ago. Now I challenge you in Jesus' name. Can you recreate the pain? Just to think about it. Can you feel the pain now? No. Then what happened to the pain? Perished. Vanity. Even the joy that is not from the Lord, it is a vanity. The pain and suffering the Lord allows in His children's life, He is doing it for a purpose. Because He wants people to witness Him. When they receive the power of the Holy Ghost, when they witness Him, that what is happening to this guy? Everybody is hitting him, cursing him, throwing stones at him. He still says he loves the Lord. He still says he prays the Lord. Where is he? Who is he? Witness. And that witness will speak for generations. Apostle Paul died many years ago. But still, the life of Apostle Paul, it is shining brighter and brighter and brighter as the day goes by. Second fulfillment, I request all the brethren to meditate for you personally. Never read the Bible as a third person. You are part of the Word. You have to read the Bible. The Bible is speaking to you. The Lord is speaking to you specifically for you. Even when the Lord cursed the enemies, take the curse upon you if you don't take the Word. Correct? Everything the Lord spoke, we have to put ourselves and receive it. We should always be on the receiving side, not on the reflecting side. Do you see people in the school, right? They will just reflect everything. Someone throws some paper, they will just hit it. Go on, you know, it will go and fall on someone's place. We are not here to, you know, play such games. We should receive. The Lord persecute, we receive. The Lord curse you, receive. The Lord wrath. Everything we receive, when we receive, we grow. When we receive, we grow. That's why the Lord said, patience, perseverance, it brings our faith to a different level. Amen. Third one, He spent about 40 days after He was resurrected. Around 40 days, right? He ascended. And remember the verse, He was taken up. He didn't go by Himself. He was taken up. It's very important. After He finished speaking about this, in front of their eyes, Jesus was taken up by a cloud. A cloud came and received Him. Now, ascension, taken up, cloud. We keep this word in the mind because cloud is very important for us. We will meet Him up in the air. Because the Lord gave a promise to Noah, I will make a covenant with you. Between me and the earth, I will set a vow. Amen. Because we are from the earth, and the Lord will meet us in the air. And that is the, I would say, a perfect location for the marriage of the Lamb. Amen. Now, when they were looking at Jesus going up, we know two men in white apparel. They stood by and they told them, "Why are you gazing up to heaven? He will come the same way He was ascended today." They gave another promise. Now remember, Jesus said, and He gave a promise to them, you shall receive power. He said everything. Then He was ascended. But there was another two people who stood there
to continue to speak the word. Did you notice that? When Jesus was ascended, the disciples might be in a state of gazing up to heaven. Whoa, my Savior, my Master has ascended. And they are thinking what we should do, what's going to happen. Those two white men in apparel, they did not appear. Remember that verse. They stood. Let's read this. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. That is the most important word. They were steadfastly look up to the heaven as he went. Behold, two men stood by them. They did not appear unto them. They stood by them. Their veil open for them to see the two men stood, you know, standing next to them. Stood by them in white apparel. And they told them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like a manner as he has seen him go into heaven. Amen. Now let's remember what happened in John chapter 20, verse 11 to 18, please.
But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to
her. Amen. God bless you, brother. In these seven verses, exactly seven verses, when Jesus was ascended, before his ascension, he spoke the final words, then he was ascended. After his ascension, two men in white apparel stood by and they spoke the word. But when Jesus died, you see the reverse happens. Mary stood without weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. The see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Right? They were sitting. This time also they did not appear. They were sitting. They were waiting. They stood by. They were waiting. And now they speak to them first. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord. Now, here they speak as a natural person, right? They have taken away my Lord. In Acts, same. Jesus was taken by the cloud. There also they are gazing up to heaven, because Jesus was taken again, ascension. But here the taken away means they believed Jesus died. He was taken away from us. He was living with us. He was walking with us. We loved him. We saw him. We spoke to him. We listened to him. He was taken away from us. You see how beautifully it's, you know, resonating. The two men in white speaking to them before Jesus spoke to them. But in Acts, Jesus spoke to them first before he was ascended. Then the two men, they waited until the Lord is ascended. Then they spoke to them the same way, saying, Why are you gazing up to heaven? He will come back again the same way like he went. You see how the Lord tells us to see that the things of the spirit cannot be given, cannot be understood by the things of the nature, the natural. Amen? Only the things, the spiritual man can receive the things of the spirit. So when the Mary said, when they said, verse 13, Why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. She was concerned about where they laid him.
And of course, as they are looking up into heaven, they were steadfastly looking where he went. There is no difference. They were still looking, they were amazed. That is why the two men said, "What are you doing? Why are you just steadfast looking at the heaven? You have things to do. Look down. Go thy way. Look down. Go your way. Follow what the Lord has been planned for you." Only after that they gathered in the upper room. Amen. If there was no gathering in the upper room, if there was no prayer, because they prayed in one accord, even before they gathered again in the same one accord in one mind to receive the Holy Ghost on the 50th day of Pentecost. So now, here Jesus talked to Mary and them, and he told them, "Don't cry and don't touch me. I'm going to ascend to my Father, your Father, my God, your God." No, he just encouraged them to go and tell everybody. But when he was about to ascend, he told them, "You shall receive power and you will be a witness to me." The word that he speaks, he could have spoken much before, right? He speaks at the right time. He speaks where it needs to be spoken and to whom it must be spoken. He did not say this to Pharisees and Pharisees. He told this only to those who gathered for him, those who will be receiving it on the 50th day. And Saul was not in the crowd. Saul was here. He still has many years left to be part of the pack, the wolf pack, or the pack where the apostles are going to move as a team to go and hunt down all the things that are against the Lord and to feed the gospel of peace to the brethren. So now he is here. Peter and co. Peter and apostles are here as one. They climbed the mountain because when they went to the Mount Olivet, you see, after the two men in white apparel, when they spoke to them, the next event is they went to the Mount of Olivet. And there was an upper room prepared for them, and they gathered there in one accord for what? For prayers. This is in chapter 1 itself. They gathered in one accord for prayers even before they received the Comforter. Let's pay attention very closely. There is a difference. Here, when Moses was sitting with his rod, when he was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, remember, he sat by near the God, the mountain of God, amen? And God appeared unto him in a burning bush, where? Near the mountain of God. After the two white men in apparel, when they spoke to the disciples, apostles, they started working. They went to Mount of Olivet. They gathered in upper room. They started praying in one accord. You can see there is a mountain. In everything in the Bible, from Old Testament to New Testament, there is always mountain. The Lord always brings the mountain in the important events. You see, mountain is a representation of the summit that we are climbing up. The Lord wants a new Holy City Jerusalem to grow in length and width. Not just, you know, like what Abraham walked from one place to another place. He is measuring us spiritually, how we grow in Him. So now, when they reached the Mount of Olivet, they went to upper room, they gathered for prayers. And now, this one is very important. Why this happened before Jesus spoke to them? Peter could have chosen the 12 apostles before Jesus spoke to them. Or Pentecost could have happened first before the 12th apostle was added, right? But no. After they gathered in upper room for one accord means what? Were they in one spirit? They have not received the Holy Ghost yet. Amen. They received the Holy Ghost only on the day of Pentecost. But they gathered in one accord, one desire, one target, one motivation. You know, to do everything to seek what the Lord has for them. What the Lord wants to do them. What the Lord wants them to do, speak. So they wanted to pray, to find it out. They wanted to listen to the voice of the Lord. So when they gathered, this event, when Matthias replaced Judas as a 12th apostle, Peter did not choose him just like that. There was a lot. They had to choose who is going to be the 12th apostle. And this one, before we read this, in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15, all the way to 22, please.
"And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you have brought the sheaf of the wave offering. 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. you shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2 tenths of ephah, and shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord.
Amen.
And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord, with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, and 2 male lambs of the first year as sacrifice of a peace offering. So the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. This shall be a statute forever in your dwellings throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your fields when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God.
So this particular section in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15 to 22, it talks about what happens as we read from the Feast of Yahweh concerning the day, 50th day, 2 wave loaves, and sacrifice for sin. And we talk about the offerings by fire, sweet savour unto the Lord. And also we talk about the bread of the first fruits, the offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. Amen. Now, there is another important event happened before this, which is chapter 16. Please read from verse 16 to 22, brother.
So he shall make atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, because of their transgressions, for all their sins, and so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his fingers 7 times, cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanliness of the children of Israel.
So sanctifying the tabernacle is, you know, is mentioned in chapter 16. And in chapter 23, we talk about Pentecost in the Feast of Yahweh perspective, what the Lord dealt with the people of Israel after the 50th day. Now, these two events are the consequence of another event that the Lord asked them to make a lot, to choose which goat will be sacrificed. Amen. Now, let me read this from, in the same chapter, verse 6. Verse 6, chapter 16, I read, "And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house." Amen. Verse 6 covers Aaron and his house and the sacrifice for himself, the atonement for himself and his house. But verse 7, please read. Verse 7, "And he shall take the 2 goats, and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron shall cast lot upon the 2 goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat." So now there are 2 goats, and one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat among the 2 goats, and Aaron needs to cast the oath. And verse 9, "Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering." Amen. "But the goat on which the Lord fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the what? Into the wilderness." Verse 10, please keep it in your mind. "The goat on which the Lord fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him. And not just there, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Now, where Brother Clement finished chapter 16, I will continue from verse 20. Yes. The same chapter, verse 20, let's see what happens to the scapegoat. And then, chapter 16, verse 20. And then he had made an end, reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation. And the altar he shall bring the live goat, because the goat needs to be alive. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all the transgression in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. Upon what? The head of the goat. The ant shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Amen. Send him away into the wilderness by a fit man, a man who is fit to do the job. Verse 22. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto a land not inhabited. A land that is not inhabited. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Amen. So we all know the only sacrifice, the only offering, only atonement, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us, who resurrected for us, and who is a living Lord for all of us, we know that the sacrifice that he made for us. But he told all his disciples, all his servants, all his apostles, that you will all have sufferings in your life. You will be persecuted for my name. You will be killed by my name. You will be tortured to death by my name. For my name. For carrying my name in your life. And what is the name is doing, my brethren? He is a deliverer. Amen. He is a redeemer. If you want the flesh to stand in the gap, if he himself is called a scapegoat, worthy of the Lamb that we praise, who is the sacrifice of the Lamb by which we all got saved. But when Jesus tells the disciples, apostles, be like me, he himself, we know that he knew no sin, but he was made to be sin. And he carried our sin, he was tortured, he was killed by the people of this world. So when the disciples take the cross and tell Jesus, I receive the Holy Ghost, I have the power, I am going to serve you, is it going to be a new ministry? Is it going to be any other than what Jesus did? It is going to be the same. When you intend to do good things for the Lord, you will be the scapegoat. People will put all their anger on you. They will hate you for no reason. Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. They don't even know why they hated me. Why? Whenever a fire goes near to a snow, snow will melt. Snow does not know why it is melting, because of fire, but snow will melt. Snow may think, oh, you hurt me, you are torturing me, I hate you, just go away from me. Every time you come near to me, something happens to me, I hate you. They don't know the reason why. They cannot see the fire. Moses was allowed to see the fire. Saul was allowed to see the light. But people are not able to see the light. If they can see the light, the whole earth would have been filled by the glory of the Lord by now. So what is the ministry that the Lord gave to apostles, the Great Commission? To fill the earth with His glory. If there is no understanding, how come there can be the truth? If there is no truth, how come the Lord can dwell in the midst of His people? So what is important, my brethren? If there is no truth, the people of Israel will remain in the slavery no matter how many promised land they enter. It is not the promised land the Lord promised them. Truth bringeth understanding. Understanding bringeth peace. Peace gives you the opportunity to show that you believe in God no matter what's going on in your life. And then people will see something is going on in his life. They will hate you, they will curse you, they'll go on their way. But when that ship is broken, they will remember you. Something happened to him, her, but he was able to hold on to love and faith. Why I could not? Let me go and ask him. You testified Jesus when that happened. So here, Matthias was chosen because of a lot fell on him. When you see this, it is not playing a game. Peter did not play a game to choose someone. He just followed what was given to him at that point of time. Similar to what Aaron did during the time of Leviticus to choose the goat for sacrifice. Remember myself, my dear brethren, whenever the Lord calls us to be His children, we will be sacrificed for Him in various ways.
You sacrifice your wealth, you sacrifice your worldly desire, you sacrifice even your own family, you sacrifice your own life. You don't know what's going to happen, but all those sacrifices are nothing but circumcising yourself from the flesh, from the carnal, from the world, to be presented blameless, spotless for Him. So we may think, Lord, I'm sacrificing too much, but Lord will be laughing at you. It is all for your own good. If you don't do it, you can't walk over to the presence of mine. So when Matthias was replacing Judas, we have to remember one sacrifice replaced another which fell, because Judas fell. So Matthias was chosen to be the 12th. And the Bible says he was numbered as the 12th disciples along with 11. And until then, Peter did not address the crowd. Have you noticed it? Peter did not address the crowd until the Lord made them whole. Because the Lord said 12 disciples, 12 apostolic foundation. But it is not written on their names. 12 apostolic foundations. When one apostle died, the Lord raised another. You see, Saul did not come into the picture. You know why? Because they were whole. They were whole at that point of time. They were ready for Pentecost. They did not need Paul. So Paul was Saul. He was dead somewhere around. His time did not come. When people of Israel were in the slavery, Moses was not needed until he became 80 years old. Amen? Until then, Moses was just being prepared. Saul is being prepared. By what? By letting him do whatever he wants. Go and do. Go and persecute Christians. Go and torture my people. Do whatever you want. I will come and meet you when the time comes. So now Peter and the team, they have started climbing the mountain. When Matthias entered the group, made them whole, 12 apostolic foundation, 12 apostles, then the day of Pentecost fully come in chapter 2, verse 1. Whenever we say, Lord, today is the day the Lord has made, rejoice and be glad. If the day is not fully come, you won't be walking with the Lord on that day. So what makes the day fully ready for you? It is your full submission to Him on that day, not last night. Not tomorrow, on that day. So when Raragan told us some time back, seek God early. The entire Bible, you see Psalm, David, the way he sings, he always say, Lord, I want to seek your face early in the morning. When I open my eyes, I'll go and praise you. It's not like a religious routine. We can do it actually. You know, every time I can set up an alarm, wake up and just read some Bible and praise the Lord. Do it every day. It becomes a routine. No. He wants us to do it spiritually as if we do it without our control. Then when we say, we are telling the Lord, Lord, I am starting my day by keeping you on the top of my life. I begin my day because you gave this day to me. I praise you, I thank you. Whatever is going to happen in my life, I'm fine. I have some pain here and there, I'm fine. Because Lord, you reminded me to pray unto you. You reminded me to praise you. I am blessed. My brethren, no flesh in this world, no carnal power, no enemy can push you to praise the Lord. If you can praise the Lord from your heart in spirit, the Lord is with you. If you don't have that assurance, then you cannot overcome your own valley. We might be thinking, Lord, I am in the valley, help me to climb. But you know what? One of your hands is holding the valley very firm. And you just raise only one hand. Lord, help me. But you are not fully submissive to the Lord. Even you yourself is not willing to come out. That is the truth, my dear brethren. There is no power in this world can hold the children of God in any prison. All the gates will be broken. The foundations of any prison will be shaken. The bands will be loosened. It is our decision. Are we going out? They went out. They were prepared. They prayed in one accord. And they gathered on 50th day when the day fully come. Now, you see the difference. In Mount Olivet, one accord. Amen. They went to the Mount Olivet, then they gathered in one accord. So there was no mentioning of one place. Because the Mount Olivet replaced the requirement of a place. Because a place was chosen by God. But now, the Lord wanted them to do their work. They go to the upper room. You read very carefully in verse 2, Acts chapter 2. 2 verse 1 to 4.
When the day of the Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance.
Amen. Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Spirit gave them what? Utterance. What Jesus said, you shall receive power. Then what is the power that we are talking about? Can you utter that Jesus is the Lord and you love Him, you praise Him no matter what happens in your life? If the Spirit gives you the utterance to serve Him, to preach the gospel of peace, yes, we receive the power. Now this utterance, remember, the utterance that Moses refused, the utterance that was given to Aaron, the utterance, the first task Aaron did when he went to the people of Israel and he spake the words of the Lord, he didn't stop there, spoken unto who? Moses. Because our Aaron was not allowed to speak anything on his own. He had to follow what the Lord told him to receive the word from Moses, and Moses will receive from God, and Aaron will speak. Now, when the Holy Ghost descended upon the disciples of our Lord, the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus said, I will give you comforter. He did not say, I will give you utterance. Amen. He said, I will give you comforter. I will go to your father, my God, your God. The comforter will come and he will guide you. And a comforter comes, the comforter didn't speak anything because he is all about actions. The Spirit of the Lord gave them utterance. Now, until then, Peter did not address the crowd. Remember this. The Lord prepared them to equip them with all the weapons, with all the understanding that they needed with the Holy Ghost. Until then, Peter did not address the crowd. He was only speaking in his group, who were in one mind, one accord. Now, Pentecost, the most important word is, they were in one accord, as Brother Clement read, in one place, my dear brethren, in one place. Let's say we are a church in Singapore, 30, 40 people here, right? Let's say we have a chance to gather in different places in Singapore, where only one place where we can physically gather, where all other places there can be a screen, where the same church service can be live streamed. If all the brethren chooses to go to the nearest place, no? Because they just want to save time and gather wherever they are. Can we say that we are in one accord? Possibly, yes. We all can have the same desire to serve the Lord. Lord, I love you. I have one faith, one baptism, one unity. But can we say that we are all in one place? We cannot say. So, when the Lord says one accord in one place, whatever the best that was allowed to them at that point of time, if they grab the opportunity, then they can be in one place. For example, overseas brethren are joining us virtually. This is the best they can do. We bless the Lord. But if they are in Singapore, would they be still joining over from live streaming? No, they would be here. One place, it means the Lord is looking at how we carry our flesh to move around, to do whatever the best we can do for the Lord. It is the hardest thing to do. It is not just carrying your body to go there. It is the desire to go there. They were in one place. There was no other soul blessed by the Holy Ghost other than those who gathered on that gathering in one accord in that one place. None outside. They were all there. They were all ready. They were all prepared very well by the Lord because they were praying for a time. They were being prepared. It is not just because the Lord spoke. The Lord, this time, they fulfilled what the Lord told them in the Garden of Gethsemane when He said, watch and pray. They failed miserably, but this time, they did the job. They gathered, they prayed, they were watching, they did everything as the Lord spoke to them. Why? Because they were watching up, gazing up to the heaven. The two wet in apparel, they said, where are you looking at? Look down, go thy way, go and do your work. Watch and pray. They were willing to pray, but they were not watchful. The two men, they came and reminded them, do not do the same mistake what happened in the tomb. When she said, they take my Lord away. Nobody can take our Lord away. He's always here in us now. So now, when this happened, now you see, sound from heaven. 2 weeks before, I literally had a similar to a science class, just for all of us to learn the creation of God. I told you sound cannot travel in space. Amen? Then, when we read, a mighty sound came from heaven. So it's not just literally traveling from space and here. God reveals Himself in dimensions. A dimension of natural things cannot see the dimension of spiritual things. The Lord opened their eyes, the Lord opened their ears, the Lord gave them new heart, and He prepared them. That is when the day was fully ready. And when the sound from heaven came, see what happened. A rushing mighty wind filled the house. Amen?
filled the house. See, when the Lord breathed His life into Adam, when our lungs is filled with air, we can say we are alive. Amen?
Amen.
Can I take the air from your lungs and tell you are alive? No matter how skillful you are, super brainy, very healthy, if your lungs is empty, you are dead. And you know, you can control your lung muscles, but you can't control your heart muscles. We discussed about this before. The Lord made certain things to be that way. You can control only for some time. If you control more, you will die. The Lord gave you the free will. My brethren, remember this. Perfect will of God and free will of your life. It is already in your body. You can learn from the way God created you. You can do what you want. But there are certain things you can control. Your heartbeat represents the time, the grace that God has given you in your life. You can't control it. Every second we are wasting if we do not do something for the Lord. Every second we are doing something that our grace period is keep on declining. Time's up. The heartbeat is a reminder. 72 times, 100 times, whatever. It's a constant reminder. Grace period is going down. Not just for you, for all of us, for the whole world. Time is coming. But the lungs, it represents, you can hold your breath for some time, then you will die. The Lord has given us the strength to do the right thing to do. You can't simply put everything on someone. You can't simply put everything on the enemy. You are the biggest battle of your life. Now, the disciples, when the house was filled, people who were in the house must be filled, right? Because when the Lord sent Noah to the ark, He shut the door. Amen?
Amen?
He shut the door. They were preserved from the destruction. But that house was not filled by the Lord's presence, because there was still a serpentine nature inside. Now you see, after this appeared in cloven tongues like fire. You see, Mount of Olivet, the Mount of God, sound from heaven, appeared cloven tongues like fire, rushing mighty wind. You just do this reverse. Do you know fire cannot sustain if there is no air? You know, right? Everybody knows. If there is no air, fire cannot sustain. It will die off. It will put off. Appeared cloven tongues like fire, mighty rushing wind, sound from heaven, day of Pentecost fully prepared, and Mount Olivet. You reverse, you will see here, God of the mountain of God, Moses, burning bush appeared unto him, waited for him to turn aside, but he was not in one accord, in one spirit. He just turned aside and the Lord spoke him. Sound came from the Lord of heaven. Now, after this only, they were filled with what? Holy Ghost. It was not given to them just like that, because it is the greatest power anyone can receive from the Lord, to be able to witness with His Spirit. When the Holy Ghost filled them, they received utterance, my dear brethren. Not the spiritual gifts, not the power to cast out demons, not anything to shake the mountain. Utterance, nothing but utterance, speak the word. Not in any way, with the witnessing of the Holy Spirit. That power is something cannot be replaced by any other power that you can imagine in your life. Speak the word of the Lord in His Spirit. After this, they were mocked by the people. These guys are crazy, they have gone something wrong. They are nothing but what? Full of wine. True enough, they became wine. They became the new wine. Because of the new covenant. Because of the only sacrifice. The everlasting covenant. Whatever the Lord said, it was fulfilled in their lives. And they became the new wine. And we are still drinking. The apostolic foundation, the teachings, we are still drinking. And the beauty is, as the day goes by, it gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. The knowledge and wisdom of the Lord will grow rapidly, extremely fast, compared to the speed of the enemy who are building the Tower of Babel. My brethren, have you ever thought in your life, what will happen if the Lord had Elijah, Moses, Apostle Paul, Isaiah, Abraham, all His mighty servants, if they all live in the same time, what will happen? Have you ever thought of this scenario in your life? Imagine the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory of the Lord, can find so many yielding points. Correct? Elijah is here, Moses is here, Apostle Paul is here. Everybody will do crazy things for the Lord. Enemy cannot handle them. The world cannot handle them. The Lord always play by a fair rule. Okay, I will take Elijah. Elisha, continue the race. Moses, come. Joshua, continue the race. Apostle Paul, come. Who is the next?
So second church is continuing the journey. Because the Lord knows if he assembles his army, the world cannot take it. If he assembles his servants, nobody can stand against them. I always think about this. When Moses split the Red Sea into two, right, by the grace of God, he did not give him utterance. He told him, raise the rod. Amen? He did not say, Moses, now you open your mouth and tell with a mighty voice, oh, Red Sea, split into two. No. The Lord said, just raise your voice. Because you don't like to speak, I hate you. He just didn't, he was not allowed to speak anything. He just raised his rod and he raised his hand out there, and the Red Sea was started splitting into two, right? Now, let's see, Moses is here looking at Apostle Paul through the Red Sea, because the sea is, you know, divided into two. On one side, I am being chased by all the armies of Pharaoh. Thousands of people coming in chariots with, you know, with all the weapons to kill me. So Moses is standing here. People of Israel here. On the other side, the Lord allows me to see Apostle Paul, for example. Just think. If the Lord allows Apostle Paul to walk over the dry land, instead of sending people of Israel and Moses to go to the other side, Apostle Paul comes. Because he is coming with what? He is coming with what? Utterance given by the Holy Ghost. He comes and lifts up comes, preach gospel, the entire army of Pharaoh will be baptized in Jesus' name. It happened with Peter. My brethren, when the Lord reveals things, when there is a bridge across the servant of God, they are only separated by time. They are not separated by anything else, only time. And that time is the grace that also separates them, not in terms of spirit, but separates them in terms of the manifestation of His word in the right time according to His perfect will. Because when Peter spoke, 3,000 people were baptized. Amen? When Apostle Paul preached, everybody, they got baptized, they prophesied. If Apostle Paul lived in the time of Egyptians, he will just go to the Pharaoh. Come, I want to speak to you. Because he has utterance now. Not any utterance. The Spirit of the Lord. The sheep will hear the voice of the Master when the vessel speaks the word of the Lord. But it did not happen. That is why people of Israel were here. God could not tabernacle himself in the midst of them. He had to do everything in the slow way, like step by step. And Moses, come on board, you are hired. Now who is the next? Aaron, come on board, you are hired. Let's start the process. But here, it's entirely different. When they received the utterance, multitude, they didn't even yet to listen to them, but still they amazed about the way they speak in tongues. Because they were amazed and they were confounded. And after they confounded, instead of believing him, they mocked at them. Why? Because the apostles haven't yet started uttering the gospel of peace. See, whenever someone tells you about someone, a brother or sister, that he did this, he did that, my dear brethren, do not believe them. You are called to hold on to what? Peace. Amen? So, you look at this multitude, the people heard. You see, the Lord mentioned that as a noise. It is written as a noise. In verse 2, it says, and verse 6, now when this voice noised abroad, not carried, it was not a message, it was not something the Lord wanted to spread. Noise, it's not a sweet music, okay? Noise. Abroad, like a rumor, the multitude came, they amazed, and they were confounded. After that, they mocked at them that they were not full of new wine. They are going to listen to the apostles who are going to speak, because they have received the power of the utterance by the Spirit, which was given to Aaron. He didn't ask for it, my brethren. Aaron did not ask for anything. Everything was given to Aaron, but everything was discussed with Moses. There is a big difference. You have to remember this. That is why when Aaron was involved in choosing, in doing the sacrifices, in the altar, sanctification, you see, we just read Leviticus chapter 23, chapter 16, right? I pray that you please meditate in this week. When the Lord fell down on the scapegoats, Aaron was doing all of those things. It was given to him as a high priest. Now, this is how the two chapters sets the foundation for the Great Commission. The early church has already been formed. Where? Here. Not here. Not here. Not here. Not here. Here. When they received the utterance of the Spirit, the early church has been established. Because when the Spirit decided to speak through them, the church started coming alive. They have started the first church age when they received the utterance. That is why Peter was the first to stand on the mountain. That is why the Lord said, you are like a rock, I will build my church upon you. Amen? But what people made of him? He is the only rock, St. Peter's Church. May the Lord open your eyes. There is only one Lord, only one Savior. All the apostolic foundations, we honor them, we love them, but we worship only one.
Amen.
May the Lord open our eyes and our hearts. We will continue next week. Let's rise as we close the sermon. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the words.
Amen.
The words that are part of the Word.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that we are nothing but the souls quickened by the last Adam, who are part of your Word. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Help us, O Lord, to continue in this journey, to walk with you humbly, to always look up to you, to hold on to the agape love, the desire to seek you, to serve you, to go on our knees in prayers. The desire, O Lord, help us to have the desire like the early church, O Lord, who gathered together to seek thy will, to seek thy calling, to listen to thy voice. Lord, help us, O Lord, to learn from the manifestation of your Word, the way, the sequence that you performed, all the fulfillment. We learn, O Lord, we are inspired by the way that you are always the same, yesterday, today and forever. Lord, help us, O Lord, to be the church who live a life that pleases you. Lord, help us, O Lord, to witness thy Word, thy truth to the souls. Lord, we want to grow, to be fruitful for your perfect will in our life, in our church, O Lord. So Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, help us to prove our calling by witnessing thee in our life, to hold on to thy living Word, to grow in our faith, to grow spiritually day by day. Lord, we pray that help us to live a life that pleases you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for everything and we bless thy holy name and we pray and we ask, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, be with us.
Amen.
And your presence is all we need. And without you, O Lord, we are nothing. And we declare this in Jesus' name. We surrender ourselves, O Lord. You are the vine and we are the branches. Help us, O Lord, to abide in thy word. We thank you and we bless your holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. God bless you, all brethren. You may be all seated.